Well, hey there. This is Debs, the horoscopes lady, and I'm asking you, do you know where your planets are? The sun is at 11 degrees Aries today. Mercury just got to Aries also at 2 degrees. Mars is over there in Aquarius, and if you have no idea what I'm talking about, stay tuned and you'll find out. I am a sidereal astrologer, and this is a sidereal astrology show. Today, though, April 25th, 2007, we're doing something a bit lighthearted. If you tuned in last week, you noticed that I ran a repeat show again. I did have some office issues, I'll put it like that, but I knew two of the girls from Virginia Tech, so I did not have that good of a week, and I was finished with the last funeral yesterday, and I thought, well, okay, what can I do that's fun, and who could I do it with that is also fun? And I thought, Allison. Now, y'all know Allison from Visible by the Numbers. She's right here on BBS Radio on Monday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. for those of us who listen to her on the East Coast. But she's going to be going through movie icons. And what I did was I picked a list of movies at least 20 years old, except the last three because they did have something in common, but movies at least 20 years old that if you mention a line from the movie or if you talk about a scene in the movie, people recognize it, even people who've never even seen the movie because it's become such part of our culture. And the first one is you'll recognize from Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh, my. Allison, are you there, girl?
I am here. I am right here.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Are you?
All right.
I'm really excited about this list. I just want to say it's fun.
It is fun. I was wondering, well, I figured I'd be talking to you on the show. The list might look a little odd, but I had to think about things that even people who've never seen, who are too young, way too young, to have ever even seen some of these movies, but it still pops up. Rocky Horror Picture Show is the only, like, horror one on here, but it's a comedy, essentially, odd horror. I even saw it being parodied in a SpongeBob cartoon. And, of course, the kids who watched... I did! My husband said, what the heck is that? I said, oh, that's from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, I'm picturing you. Why are you watching SpongeBob? That's what I'm picturing.
I have an 8-year-old.
I have an 8-year-old.
Yeah. That's the only reason. And I do like to stay on top of what she watches. You know, Patrick Starfish is walking around in black fishnet pose. I said, okay, we'll let that one go. But that was what it was from. So let's start with The Wizard of Oz, which is August 25th, 1939. And since you're my guest here, I'm going to let you go with the numerology first, and then I will hit the astrology highlights.
Okay, well, basically what I did is I looked to see what universal year it was born in, really, and it was the 22 universal year. So I thought that was really interesting because 22 always means something is born that's lasting, it's permanent, and it's a gift to humanity or something very important, but it's solid, it's real, and it lasts. So I thought that was interesting that it was a 22-universal year. As far as the vibration of it goes, I just vibrated out the name, and it is a 5 vibration, but it's originally a 77, which is very interesting. I think... When I think of the 7, I actually think of wizards, frankly. I think of magic. And so to have it, the Wizard of Oz, that's a title, and have the, before you reduce it to the 5 vibration, you see a 77 in there. I'm quite smiled at that. But the 5 vibration always means unique, unconventional. It always, it's just, I'm sure that at the time, that the moon, of course, I don't really recall, but at the time, I'm sure that it was a very unique and different movie, unlike the others, and it kind of dancing to your own tune is what the 5 energy is all about. Now, the life path, if you take the day that it was born upon, the day that it was released, it's a one life path. And one thing that is very kind of consistent in your list is, you know, if we are born as people, and we have a 1 or an 8 life path, we have to be quite successful because these are very competitive, very ambitious, very driven, very wanting to succeed sort of energies. So when you see a movie that's born on a 1 day, you know, that kind of when you see a movie that has a one life pass, that's always indicative of success. But it's also originality. And I really think that the Wizard of Oz is almost a one-of-a-kind movie. So the originality that comes in with the one life pass, I thought was very interesting. The day of its birth, a 25, which vibrates to a 7. Again, Wizard 7, Wizard 7. You know, 7 has, it's almost like it's bringing the wisdom of the ages when you bring forth a 7 energy in any person. It has almost a different feel to it. Oftentimes the 7 is referred to as being a little bit on the eccentric side. And a specialist as well. That's the energy of the 7. But still, the words magic and mystical and wizardry is all associated with the 7. So again, that was interesting. Now, cycle-wise, I always kind of want to look at the day it was launched, what was in play for that particular time. An 8 cycle always means abundance. It means success. The pinnacle it was launched in, which is specific energy as well, family. It's a 6. It's about home, hearth, and family. It appeals to families. And also, this movie was released. It's the year. It's in a 6 year this year. So I almost can see where, you know, continually this would be a year where people, families, will sit around and enjoy this movie once again. Another interesting thing, the last cycle for Wizard of Oz is a 22. And really, you can't place enough emphasis upon 22 meaning bringing forth a dream, building it, and then it lasting for an eternity. And also the fact that in a 22 vibration, basically it's indestructible almost. You know what I'm saying? And so when you look at The Wizard of Oz, you know, this is a movie I think that'll be here for eons. So numerically, that's my opinion. That's
okay.
My
opinion. What's one of your favorite lines or scenes from the movie?
Well, we aren't in
Toto. There's so many.
Antium and Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. I've used that particular. I've been to certain places and I'm not in Kansas anymore, you know. Or I'll sometimes when weather's coming, my family kids around with me because I'll go, Antium, Toto, when a storm's coming, you know. I always kind of yell that out and they know.
But see, that's what I'm saying about this movie. I mean, all of us, we do this, and I, you know, since I do have a little girl, you know, they're still selling those red glitter shoes, and they all love them.
Oh, sure.
And they'll click their heels, you know, the same thing. Yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore. I've used that one myself. That's one of my favorites. And, you know, I just love that movie. And so does everybody else, and that's it. Astrologically, again.
It's power. Yeah.
It does. It does. It almost didn't get made. You know that. They had all kinds of problems. Buddy Ebsen was the original Tin Man. Yeah, and the makeup. Yeah, he almost got lead poisoning from the original makeup they had on him. Had to switch that. And when it came out, it was not that well received. And it's kind of, I mean, if you look at it, August 25th, I don't think they expected much because, you know, kids are going back to school a week later. I mean, I'm not sure the studios thought it would do that well. And then, of course, it just built and built and kept on growing. Astrologically, August 25th, 1939, the sun was in Leo then, 9 degrees Leo, and it's conjunct Venus. You'll see several of these are like that, which is an aspect. You know, people are born with it. It's not an uncommon aspect because the Venus is never that far away from the sun, but it does make people and certainly things that are launched that day attractive, lovely in some way. And, of course, Leo is very nice for anything that has to do in the arts or theater. There is a grand trine in this chart. And, again, when I looked at all these charts, I thought, crack me up. They had most of them have two things in common. They have what's called a grand trine, which means at least three planets 120 degrees away from each other, so it looks like a triangle, you know, if you could look at it three-dimensionally. Okay, so for other people who don't understand that. And there's always an opposition, at least one opposition. The Grand Trine involved Uranus and Neptune, and it was, you know, one of the legs, and it was a movie that had been, no other movie had been made like that before with the special effects. And it went to color. It was black and white in the beginning. When she went to Oz, it went to color, and then all that had to be hand-tinted. which was phenomenal. I mean, who put that kind of work into a movie? And then it comes up to the point there is a Moon-Mars conjunction, which makes the third top of that trine. And that those are emotional struggles, which, of course, Dorothy's going through the entire movie until she finally, like, okay, and, you know, was like, all right, I got it. And even though there's this wicked old witch, I can deal with my problems, and I can confront them and beat them, actually. But there's also a grand cross in here that involves that Moon-Mars conjunction opposed Chiron, so that's pain. But it's pain that you learn from. And then there's a nodal cross coming around the other side of that, with Saturn and the South Node and then the North Node. Saturn is in Aries here, and that's the fear of not being liked, or you won't understand me, which, of course, was not only Dorothy's thing, you know, in the beginning, nobody understands us, Toto, we're just going to run away, but also in the beginning, people didn't know what to make of that movie.
That's kind of an explanation of a seven as well. I find that interesting you're using those words. I'm just interjecting here.
Oh, no, I'm glad you are, because what I know about numerology, you know, you can put in a teacup, you know, and not a very big teacup either. And but of course, it's always, you know, it's numbers. It's astrology. Mm-hmm. All right, the second movie I went, the second classic, Gone with the Wind. And January 17th, 1941, go. You know, go. It's another fabulous movie.
Right. Frankly, Scarlett, I don't. Yeah, okay, I got it.
Yeah, that's it. And I swear by God, I'll never be poor again. That was one of my favorites. She's eating those raw turnips out there.
Right. I can remember, I didn't actually see it in 1941 because I wasn't born.
Oh, no.
But I can remember the first time I saw it, and I sat down, and I had so much to do. And it was on TV, and I had so much to do that day, and I was just taking a break, and I sat down when it began, and do you know how long that movie is when it's on TV? It's like forever. And I
don't know, maybe
it was 4 hours, I don't know, 5 hours later, the movie finally ended. And I was mesmerized, absolutely mesmerized by the movie. The universal year that 1941 was the sixth universal year, I think the actual vibration of Gone with the Wind is it's a 13-4 vibration, and that often says if it's with a person, that would mean maybe having a little bit of difficulties focusing and disciplining and getting a project done. It can actually mean delays. It can mean not wanting to really put in the hard work, but you really got to put in the time in order to get the thing done. So you know that this movie took a huge undertaking, and it took a lot of discipline to get it done. Might not have been so easy for them at first. Now, the birthday number, born on the 17th, that's the day it was released, that is, you know, vibrates to an 8, essentially, which that always means success and money. It means power and mastery, and certainly it was a masterful movie of its time. It was just extraordinary at its time. So the life path is a 6, which that's a beautiful harmony to the year, the universal year. So I thought that was interesting. And the 6 always is home, hearth, and family. 6 always has to do with relationships, which I think is kind of funny because a lot of this movie was about not only the history but also the relationships of the people within the history itself. And so... And 15-6 is always an indication of trouble with relationships, so I thought that was kind of interesting. The cycles, when I look at the cycles for this movie, a 1 first cycle, again, original, struggling maybe a little bit to stand on its feet, but very powerful and ambitious movie. Pinnacle-wise, there's another place where you would kind of want to look, and it was a 9 pinnacle. And that generally, 9 speaks of art. It speaks of the world. Like a person that has 9 energy, the world belongs to the world. They're a citizen of the world. And so this movie, I don't think, was ever meant, for just the United States. You know, this movie was meant to just go everywhere and for everyone to see. And as I said, you know, there's a lot of creativity, artistic expression that comes in with a 9. That's a good pinnacle for this particular movie to land. When you take the 6 life path, a 9 pinnacle, the 6 universal year, you're talking a lot of artistry and a lot of creativity, and that's really what I kind of got out from, you know, because that's as far as I can really go with numerology, but I'm interested to hear what the astrology says.
Okay, well, before I do, I want to ask you, as someone, I assume, I have your chart, you know, born, bred in the North, what was your opinion of, you know, was that, did it strike you as realistic Southern life? Did it just a personal life? Or, I mean, certainly it is an art. I mean, it's a gorgeous movie, you know, with the clothing and, you know, she's making her dress out of the drapes and everything.
Sure.
How does it strike somebody, you know, far north on the Mason-Dixon line?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's been some movies that, you know, the one thing that I've learned, even on a state-to-state basis, we all might be in the United States, but each state, the population, the personality of the people really is in, it reflects the state itself. So as you move, it people change. And I can remember looking at that and being a New Yorker originally, I'm born and raised in New York, and I can remember I was mesmerized by speech, by the mentality, you know, the way in which the women thought, the way in which the men thought. You know, a lot of the era stuff came in, but also when it's looking at the South, that was something I never experienced or understood. And so I was mesmerized. It was actually a learning experience for me to try to understand the traditions and the values of the South. And I can remember that's what made the movie fascinating for me, because it wasn't anything that I had ever experienced, you know. Certainly didn't go with my thinking, so to speak.
So, and which makes sense. I obviously, if you know, if people, even if I took all the y'alls out of my speech, they can probably tell, you know, this, we're about as north as my family gets, actually. And we're, you know, came in from big Virginia family, and then Wilmington, South Carolina, and Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and, you know, been here essentially almost 400 years ago. And it's funny because I understand as a Southerner how important the land is. I mean, your land, you will do anything. You know, a man's home is his castle, but that land, I mean,
right.
That's what means everything. And
well, that could be the four
vibrations.
Sorry to interrupt, but, you know, you're bringing
up. Glad to hear.
Bringing it up with your Southern thinking.
Yes.
The four vibration, the four is always connected to Mother Earth. So when you said that, all of a sudden, it's like ding-dong, bells going off. The four vibration is always about Mother Earth. So thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, no, happy to do it.
It helps to make more sense to the numbers. Thank you.
Yes. Well, good. Because I've seen people who lived on houses that weren't much more than shacks, but their land was gorgeous. And they had it planted, or they had the fences up, and they had the rest, you know, the yards were immaculate. You know, there's always the jokes about the cars in the front yard and whatever. But most Southerners, the land is what's important to them. And, you know, there you go. Most Southerners also actually hate that movie, or at least the elder generation was, because, you know, of course, you'd never show a lady in a bad light. You know, it's just something you didn't do. But there you go. All right, January 17th, 1941, when it was born, the sun was actually in 4 degrees of Capricorn and conjunct Mercury this time. And, again, it's not an unusual astrological configuration, because, again, Mercury, like Venus, is never more than 45 degrees away from the sun. But anyone or anything with the sun and Mercury conjunct, it's all about communication, and it's all about getting a story across or letting you know how I think about something. And, of course, the main characters, and that's what it was. They thought differently, or, you know, running a business is also it's good for running businesses and whatnot. Again, the grand trines in this are phenomenal. If anyone at home wants to run this, it's January 17th, 1941. It probably came out first night premiere, 8 p.m. in Hollywood, California. But the trines are at the top. I've got the Sun and Mercury coming down to, again, Moon, Neptune. So you have, it's a perfect theater combination. It is almost surreal. And I read Neptune, not like a lot of modern astrologers do, tropical astrologers, but Neptune being a higher octave actually of the Moon, which I could discuss that later as to why that makes a lot of sense. And here they are. This is all about glamour. And then the third leg of that trine, we've got Uranus again. Again, this was a type of movie that, I mean, they were making lots of movies then that nobody else made anything like this. This movie was long. Even when it first came out, it was just ridiculously long. People said, who's going to sit in their seat for that long? But the director and the producer said, we've got to have it this long because we've got to tell the story. And, you know, it comes back up to the top of that trine. You have another trine going on between Venus and Saturn-Mars conjunction. Now, Venus and Saturn are friends. They're old friends, and they get along quite well. They got along well as Greek gods. They certainly get along well astrologically. And any time you see that working together, you find something that's attractive, and attractive business-wise, and certainly Jupiter trine Venus. But that Jupiter-Saturn conjunction speaks of someone locked into their fears or the way they think about stuff, which is perfect for that movie because that was part of the problem. They, you know, the South had changed. Everything had changed, but they were locked into, they didn't know how to be any different, didn't know how to act any different, you know, until finally, you know, Rhett walks out and it's like, okay, I've had enough of this. But as far as, I mean, this movie just, I mean, what a chart for this movie. It just says it over and over. We're going to show you this incredible story that's going to be about struggle. It's got all that Capricorn in it. It's got all that Virgo and how we change our lives and improve our lives and where we go from there. It's not a perfect grand trine because that Uranus hadn't made it to Taurus yet. It was still in Aries. But, it, you know, it's right there. And it hadn't. That movie, they hadn't stepped out of the past completely. They were doing the best they could but didn't step out of the past. But, man, I mean, it's just another great chart here. So, anyway, next movie, oh, West Side Story, December 23rd, 1961.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, it's, it, what, you know, again, a phenomenal story, Forbidden Love and all that, which is always, it's always one, a great one, but what numerology, what does have, what does it have to say about this?
Okay. Well, that was an eight universal year, so that's a year for power and mastery anyhow. A very solid year, but this movie has, the name has a three vibration. So three is always about ability to communicate with words. This is the star power. You know, persons, people that have threes, life path, birthday, or in their chart, these are the people, they're good communicators, they know how to express themselves, and they're star quality. So West Side Story itself, the name vibrates to a three. That's a good start. Now, the actual life path, using the date of birth and trying to see the day that it was born, would be a 16-7, which is an indication of karma of sorts with this particular... Now, there is no such thing as sort of karma. It is karma.
Yeah.
So, but what this is interesting that, you know, this has to do with an illicit love affair or has to have problems with love affairs where a person carries forth from a past life a lesson having to do with it. And the way that you would want to think of the 16 karma is in a past life, you were involved in a love affair with someone. Could have been a secret love affair, could have been whatever. But because of your involvement, somebody somewhere lost it all. They lost their life. And I'm not saying a death, but it could be they lost the life that they were living and had to start over. So when you walk into this lifetime carrying that karma, you can be assured that there are going to be times in your life where you're going to have to start over from scratch and rebuild your life again. And perhaps the soul is attempting to feel what that feels like to having lost it all. And that is the vibration of the 16 before it becomes the 7. And so being a 7 life path, you know, this 7 carries a lot of wisdom. It's a very spiritual number. It's quite different from other energies. It thinks differently. It's not so much interested in the material as it is in the spiritual aspects of things. But I thought that the karma involved in there was interesting. Now, the 23rd, the day that it was released, 2 and 3 is communication and sensitivity. But the 5, when you look at it as a 5, you know, I'm sorry, but this kind of brings in a little bit of sensuality, a lot of physicality. This also brings in sex and relationships and
makes
the physical
aspects.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's bring in the 5s because it's going to watch.
Yeah.
And also makes it unique and different. I mean, 7 is very different. 5 is very unconventional. So when you take 7 and 5, you got very unconventional when you put those two things together. Cycle-wise, perfect cycle. You got a 3 vibrational movie coming in on a 3 cycle. Kind of fits up, adds up nicely. The pinnacle that it came in on was an 8, which is good for money-making money. And, you know, even the final pinnacle that this movie is in for the rest of its eternity is an 11, which is always going to draw attention to it. It's not going to fade into the limelight. It's a master vibration. It's, you know, and there's a message that's housed in this movie is what, you know, I'm getting from that this message isn't going to die, the one that comes with this movie. And so numerically, you know, I think that it's interesting. It's very interesting. I think 3, you know, I actually, as I was going down through, I was thinking, well, you know, maybe we ought to, you know, email the movie places and tell them when to have movies start. What do you think? Do you think we ought to do that?
Oh, I tell you what, I have been telling, because I've been doing a radio show over at AOL for 3.5 years now. It's for kids online. And mm-hmm. I don't do the whole show. I'm just a guest. I've been a guest there. Let me clarify that on DJ Rick's show. But they're owned by Warner Brothers. And I've told him for years, look, I could tell these guys when to release movies that would do so much better. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But I think if we work together, man, we could get primo bucks and have a lot of fun doing it.
Sure, but you got to get the name in alignment with the life path as well, because that works out really well. And also, you know, even people when they consult for businesses and whatnot, you really want to think carefully about that name. You don't want to bring any karma into that name. You want to have a name that's going to draw attention to it, and it also is in harmony with what you want to do with your company. So even the name of a movie is important too. So we work on
that. No, it is. Yeah.
We'll work on that with them. Okay, go ahead.
I think so. Well, I was just thinking of when you said name. I had a name of a business a while ago. I was just it was guaranteed to doom from the beginning, and I was so naive. But I'll take 30 seconds and say my corporate name was Hypatia and Friends. And Hypatia was a Greek librarian. She was a head librarian, and she had cataloged the libraries and really built the libraries in ancient Greece. And I was starting a bookstore, so I thought, man, isn't that perfect? Well, when the Romans came in and took over, government took over, they had to get rid of that culture, and they burnt the books, and they flogged Hypatia to death. And, you know, but she had saved scrolls and whatever and got them smuggled out before the Romans got there, and I had admired that. Well, let me tell you, I had been in business almost 10 years, and the IRS came after me. It was a mistake that finally got sorted out, but they essentially flogged my business to death.
It's not going to work for you, right?
Exactly, and I thought I had idealized what this woman had gone through and unconsciously kind of put myself through the same experience. So
that's
names
funny.
Are important.
That's funny.
It is. Okay, West Side Story, December 23rd, 1961. Now, this one has trines but no grand trines, and it was a movie that ended even more so than Gone with the Wind with more tragedy. Gone with the Wind, at least there was some sort of resolution, some sort of, okay, this isn't working, but, you know, I'm going to start over again. And you know Scarlett ended up as emotionally devastated as she was at the moment. You got the feeling, okay, she'll just pick herself up and, you know, go back on again. West Side Story, of course, ended up with Maria's death, and then, not Maria's death, Tony's death, and, you know, these kids just, you know, being violent and for ridiculous reasons that still continue today when two cultures clash. And what we have is we have December 23rd, 1961, or any December 23rd, the sun was in Sagittarius. and it's conjunct Mercury, but it's also conjunct Mars, and you have Venus on the other side. So that, and it's all in Sagittarius, so it's all about what's true, what's the truth, not the facts. Sagittarians are known for being, the two different sides of a Sagittarius, or anything Sagittarius, is someone who is completely reverent of all life, respectful, interested, supportive in all life, and the guy with the whoopee cushion or the screaming bigot. You know, Archie Bunker showed both sides. You know, he's kind-hearted on one side and then just these absurd statements coming out of his mouth. And these two groups having all these bigoted ideas about each other that, you know, got formed somewhere and just sat there and then, of course, grew. But the truth is, my favorite scene in the movie is actually when the women are singing, they're working as seamstresses, and they come out and they do that great dance number, about what life is like in America. And the guys are coming out saying what they think life is like in America, you know, seeing this, they're not seeing the opportunity, even though you know they're glad to be here. And the women are like, look, it is better here. And they're going back and forth. And you see that with any group coming into any country, you know, these waves of that. And so here we're separating truth from facts, or we're presenting it to each other. But here we go in the sixth house, and it's interesting, you're talking about sixes there. Oh, and by the way, all that stuff, that Venus, that Mars, the Moon, I'm not the Moon, Venus, Mars, Sun, and Mercury is all in the fifth house. This show premiered at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time out in Hollywood. So place all that stuff in fifth house, which is all about romance and can get very steamy, especially with Mars and Venus together. But in the sixth house, it's Jupiter and Saturn. So for a something to come out, or for a story, or for a person, these are people that have to work. And they want to have fun where they can, but first they have to work. And it's not easy. And it wasn't easy for, you know, the native-born Americans there either. Life was tough in that neighborhood. And, you know, what do? It's like you're stuck in your role. Tony couldn't. He tried to break out of who he was, the group he was in, but they wouldn't let him. You know, that Saturn came in and said, no, we like the status quo. It's not working real good, but it's working. You know, we're comfortable with that. And again, this Chiron was the wounded healer. He was a centaur that got wounded in battle, and never quite understood by his own centaurs. He was a musician. Well, he was all these wonderful things. But since he was a centaur, he didn't quite fit in with humans, didn't quite fit in with the gods, you know, so he just kind of did his own thing, but it made him a little lonely. Anytime you see that in a chart with strong connections, you look where somebody's been hurt just being themselves, but they got to be themselves or they don't have any integrity and they don't learn and they don't grow. And here it is in the seventh house, relationships, and it is opposed, that Uranus and that Pluto, which, you know, the social consciousness of the times. Brilliant movie. I saw, it's completely unrelated except the fact it had the West Side Story. The TV show was doing, like the characters in the show was doing that play. It was a Scottish television show done, about 5 or 6 years ago. And one of the storylines was the people in there were rehearsing for West Side Story. And I thought, dear heavens, even in Scotland, I mean, it's a universal kind of, you know, struggle between people and relationships. How could I forget?
Well, everyone can understand, you know, what that movie was saying and could identify, I think, with the struggles in it. I just wanted to interject. You mentioned wanting to know the truth, you know, and you also used another word about loneliness and the seven vibration, that 16-7. I mean, again, the correlation between your words of what a seven means. I mean, I'm listening to you and I'm going, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm following her. You know, being able to make sense of what you're saying. I thought that was pretty interesting listening to you.
Oh, okay. Well, and the only thing I left out, I'm like, how could I leave this out? Why save the best for last? It's that Moon-Saturn opposition. Now, there's people every month born with this for, you know, like 3 days every month. And these are people who, you know, couldn't show their emotions as children. Or somehow they were supposed to stuff their emotions or hide their emotions. And then finally, when they get to be adults, they say, no, you know, my emotions are valid. And, you know, if it doesn't get stopped, you get to have a good emotional life. If it does get stopped, you don't. So there you go with that one. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Oh, another fun one. Let's do The Sound of Music.
Okay.
March 29th, 1965.
All right. I really think that maybe there might be a little bit of a trend here with the universal year, the year that a movie gets released. I think it's got to be a good thing because it's a three universal year, the year that The Sound of Music was released. And it has a three vibration, an overall three vibration. And again, a three vibration always means star quality. It is fun, it is friendly, it is joyful, it is magnetic, it is good with words. Some of the greatest singers and actors and actresses have a lot of three energy. Three is what you want to watch. You always can, you always notice a three person because they're sparkly. Interesting to watch, they express themselves beautifully. So that's the vibration of the actual name, Sound of Music. Now, the 29th, the day that it's released, can be vibrated down to an 11, which is a master number. And you can read the who's who of America, whether they be politicians or authors or actresses, scientists, people that have a real purpose in life and actually are meant to be in the limelight often carry the 11 vibration. It's very difficult when you have a 11 vibration in your chart not to be noticed. I mean, you just get noticed. So you take a 3 and 11, and you can't help but pay attention to this movie. And the 11 is also the messenger. So there's, you know, it's some message for humanity, whether it's to uplift, bring joy, or whatever the message might be, the movie itself, you know, carries a strong message. And it has to be noticed by the birthday number. The actual life path, when you add the date of birth across, is an 8. Well, that always means abundance, power, and mastery. It always means success. And it isn't that it doesn't have struggles. I mean, 8s, you know, usually reach great heights, but there's always struggles within. But there's that promise of abundance that comes in. The first cycle's a 3. So here we got a 3 universal year, 3 vibration, 3 first cycle. You know, that's kind of like... you know, in numerology, I try to explain it to people like this. You have energy that's you. And then there's also energy that's in your chart that is where the universe puts you to allow you to use your energy. It's kind of like where you're planted. And we would hope that we get planted in a place that we can use our talents and abilities. So, for instance, if you're a farmer and you have tools and seeds and you're ready to plant a farm, you would hope that the universe would put you in a field and not out to sea.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
so
or in the middle of the street, yes.
Yeah, or in the middle of the street, yeah. So in this particular movie, we've got a 3 universe a year, 3 vibration, and we get planted in a 3 cycle, so that's very conducive to, you know, the energy of what the movie is about. The pinnacles, per se, the first, I kind of am only looking at the first pinnacle and kind of glancing down through. It's a 5 pinnacle, so there's a lot, I don't know if there's a lot of excitement or if this movie's unconventional or... But the 5 always means, you know, the unexpected. You know, it's a happy, joyous vibration. It really blends beautifully with the 3. And so, you know, to me, it seems to be quite a bit in harmony of where the name of the movie, the actual day it was born, et cetera, it seems as though it's in harmony with itself. That would be my opinion numerically.
Okay, what were some of your favorite scenes out of the movie? Another long, long movie had an intermission.
I think of that movie, to me it was the panoramic views, the beautiful countryside. I think that is where, you know, I kind of got lost in that. The music was lovely, but, you know, also the story was lovely. I mean, I don't think in that particular movie, that's one of those ones where, gosh, you just can't pick something that was your favorite because it all was just beautiful, so...
Yeah, it was a beautiful movie. You're right. The scenes are gorgeous. It always reminded me when I saw it more of a play than a movie. Just the staging and just how they did a lot of the individual scenes, and just it showed each character, you know, like it focused on each character, like a play would, more than, you know, a movie. And astrologically, it was March 29th, 1965, and the sun was right in the middle of Pisces, 15 degrees of Pisces, conjunct Venus again, so here you have something very attractive. And then it's wide, but Mercury's also in Pisces, but it's retrograde. Now, a retrograde, particularly retrograde Mercury, is someone or something in a movie's case or book's case, for that matter, that it's thinking outside the box. It's different than everyone else. And again, when this movie came out, it, even though, I mean, it was a long movie, had to have an intermission like The Wizard of Oz did and Gone with the Wind, which were not things, I mean, it cost a lot to produce. It took a lot of time. But its main message was, you know, here's this guy was, Christopher Plummer. He's not thinking like everybody else. Everyone else is like, okay, let's just fall in line, do what we have to do. We don't really like it, don't really want to do it. But he is firmly, you know, no, Austria is Austria. And, you know, we should stand firm with that. Her thinking, of course, was solely she thought she was going to go in to the monastery and become a nun. That's what she always wanted to do because it was beautiful and peaceful. And then that's not what happened to her. And, of course, this is based on a true story. Her thinking got turned around completely because of the situations that presented itself to her, which often happens. Mercury retrograde people are usually one step ahead anyway. It's like, or they're thinking, okay, well, of all the different possibilities, as opposed to, okay, do I have to just accept this? Do I have to go along with this for a while? It's the only one, I think, of all these movies, I was looking at them, that has a grand cross as opposed to a grand trine. It has oppositions and a grand cross. So there's all this tension. And this movie, of all the ones on here, is the only one who's got, well, besides the next one, which has different kinds of tension, I guess the third one down too. It has a lot of tension, the whole tension of, you know, what is Maria going to do and what, you know, what is he going to do? Is he going to marry the woman that he's been dating or, you know, fall in love with this young governess, and what's going to happen to the country? There's just tension everywhere, and who's going along with everything? The moon is up there in Aquarius, of all things, which is more, there's no feeling in this. This is a moon that thinks or acts like it's thinking, where you have the sun, Venus, and Mercury all in Pisces, which is extremely emotional. The moon probably saves it as far as it can put words to all those emotions. It can have those emotions make sense. And then you don't see the violence in the movie, but it's the buildup of the violence. With Mars, Uranus, and Pluto all conjunct in Leo, oppose that Saturn and that Moon. Oh, then you have the whole thing with young Roth, who's, he's a good boy. He's a good Austrian boy. He joins the young Nazis, and what's that great scene with, I am 16 going on, or you are 16 going on 17. You know, you need a man like me who's 8, who's all of 19 to show you, you know, what to do. My daughter can sing every word of that song. She loves it. It's of all the movies, this is one that's got all this tension to it. And here you go. You have Jupiter opposed. Jupiter was in 1 degree of Taurus then. Wants to be comfortable, and it is opposed. It's widely opposed, but it's opposed that Neptune, where okay, I want to be comfortable, but I can't believe in what they're doing. You know, and I'm thinking people born at that time in, you know, the 1960s, late 50s, early 60s there, if you think of them as people, as they've grown up, myself included in that late 50s group, that, you know, yeah, we want to be comfortable, but can't quite be comfortable with the way we were told we were supposed to be comfortable, or with things we were told we were supposed to be comfortable with. And I think that movie played that out beautifully, using a different generation, but played out beautifully. And I think that's one reason it resonated so much, besides all the just lovely songs. Most of the movies on this list have a lot of music in them. you know, it speaks to people. But there, that's it. That Chiron's up there also and in opposition one more time, this time with Pluto. And, again, it's the social consciousness that hurts. So it just hurts. And, you know, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to get rid of it? How are you going to resolve that? Or are you just going to play along, which a lot of the people in the movie do because they're trapped into it or they feel they are. So let's see. I know we've got time for at least one more. And before you get off the line, I'm going to ask you if you're going to come back next week and we can finish out the list. Because this is I have no idea what your schedule is. And when I did this, I thought, okay, we can, like, zip through these in 5 minutes. But obviously, it takes a little bit more discussion. So
right. Well, I think I have to check my schedule, but I'll get back to you on that. I'll let you know. What
okay,
because I want to pick one.
Let's do Rocky Horror Picture Show, which was the next in the line. I'm going up chronologically. And if we have to end with the Rocky Horror, we'll do that, and we'll pick up next week with Star Wars. Picture Show, which is probably the oddest of this bunch, but it's still playing in one of my local theaters. It plays at midnight every Friday night. I said, and showed up in a SpongeBob cartoon, a parody of it, Busch Gardens, during their Oktoberfest, do a show, a mad scientist show, which comes straight from Rocky Horror. I mean, it's made much more comedic, but I it just cracks me up. It's like, how did this goofy little B movie, which is what it was, last so long? And it was released September 26, 1975, not even a release date that said they thought it was going to do anything. You know, it came out essentially for Halloween. They figured that was it. It was going to show hopefully close to Halloween, and then it'd be out of there. So numerology, what does that have to say about it?
Well, it was made in a 22 universal year. So that, to me, I don't know, I just kind of looked at that and said, okay, kind of like The Wizard of Oz. It has, the actual name has a 15-6 vibration, 6, okay? So, you know, I was trying to make sense of that. The 6 is certainly, it's artistic. It has to do with home, hearth, and family. It has to do with relationships. It has to do with all of those things. But it also can also be the appeal. I don't know if this appealed to the community, it appealed to more people. I mean, perhaps that's the attractiveness of a 6 vibration. You know, it's like when we name things, we're actually the sound of your name, the sound of my name, the sound of this actual picture. It's actually sending out a vibration, and it's going to draw like to it. Do you understand? Like the law of attraction, you're going to draw the same thing back to itself. So it's got a 6 vibration. Rocky Horror Picture Show, sending out a 6 vibration. Now, the birthday, again, we're looking at an 8. That's always, I'm sorry, people, you need an 8 for success, you know. It's ambition, it's making money. You know, I'm looking at these movies based on the potential for a success. You know, I guess that's how I set it all up, is what do I see in this that can bring success for this particular movie and looking at its date of birth? Well, you know, you have to have ambition, you have to have desire, and the 8 always is the promise of money, okay? So you got an 8 somewhere in a movie's numbers, and that's going to bring it success, obviously. Now, what's interesting is the life path on this is a 5. I mean, how unconventional is the Rocky Horror Picture Show? It's about as unconventional as you get. And it's you know, 5 per se. They don't really care what you think. They're doing their thing. That's all that's important. Is I'm not peer pressure, not an issue for a 5. The 5 is unconventional. It doesn't care what you think. So, and it also is always reaching out for new ideas, new thoughts. It's always never stuck in a rut, always reaching forward. The 5 can be catastrophic when it comes to accidents. They don't pay attention to where they are. You know, they don't learn from experience. But it's a very excited, curious, forward-moving sort of an energy. But unconventional, I think, is a perfect word for this particular movie. And frankly, again, when you look at these cycles for the movie, meaning if you're looking as to where it's going, you have an 11, an 8, and a 22, right? And I don't know if you recall, you got a 22 year here. You have a 22 last cycle. And remember when I said we're the Wizard of Oz, it had a 22 last cycle. I mean, I think it's here for eternity, really. That is lasting. It's I mean, this will be around long after some of these other movies, you know, are not so prominent. I think this will be one that'll still be around. 11 will draw it to attention. 11 makes it magnetic and charismatic, and it wants to put it in the limelight. So when it's your first cycle, you're going to be put into the limelight. The second cycle, 8, again, when you're in an 8 pinnacle or an 8 cycle anywhere as a human being, you're allowed to progress farther and ahead, and it's easier to make money, and that's what that's saying. And the 22 is going to last forever. So, you know, that's what I see in the numbers. I mean, unconventional, yes, but it was destined to make some money, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But?
But?
What'd you
say? But?
I thought you said but. Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right. September 26, 1975, when this movie was released, the sun was in 9 degrees of Virgo and conjunct Pluto, which personality-wise is something that it's essentially unstoppable. Now, what direction it goes in depends on the rest of the chart. This is someone with incredible charisma that just comes into the room and you have to notice it, whether you want to look at it or not. And that is trining that Moon and Mars. Moon and Mars, too, is usually considered it's a volatile conjunction, you know, with emotions like just going exaggerated emotions, either very happy or very angry. People always go with angry, but it could also be extremely just joyful. It just boom, whatever that is. And so that's just so easy to express in that movie, and it does. And again, here's a movie with a lot of toe-tapping songs. I mean, the lyrics are not usual, but they're toe-tapping songs. I mean, and you listen to them in the background, you can't help but just start, you know, moving around to them. No grand trines in this. This has got the oddest set of aspects of any of the other of any of these movies. It's got what's called a bowl chart, and what is leading the bowl is Jupiter, which is always excellent, and it's in Pisces, so it's this emotional component, but it's the ocean. I mean, it's funny because they'll say about Pisces, they'll say, you know, wow, I didn't think a Pisces could be that mean, and I said, you know, think of a typhoon, it's nothing but water. Think of a hurricane, it's nothing but water. I mean, they can go complete gamuts to where you have this very peaceful, wonderful, you know, idyllic pond to, you know, this mighty whirling hurricane. And the same thing with Jupiter and Pisces. And this movie just takes you through this whole emotional whirlwind. And on the other side of that bowl is Neptune. So, and that's very important for Hollywood. That really is glamour in its purest form. It is, and worldwide glamour, it's make believe that makes us feel and think different. And again, I think the Neptune is a higher octave of the Moon, so it always taps into our emotional level, no matter even if it's a thinking movie, and the glamour of it all. And that's when the whole idea of glamour came about was when Neptune was discovered, with photographs and, you know, Hollywood and movies and that type of thing, bringing theater worldwide, not just local theater where you had to go physically and watch it. So you got this bowl chart, and you have all these other things in between. And the opposition of this chart, here we go again with Chiron in a different sign. It's in Aries, but it is conjunct Pisces by 5 degrees, and it's opposing in Libra. And this is what you're talking about. This would be your 5 vibration here, astrologically. It's Mercury and Uranus conjunction, which they do think differently than everyone else. And to borrow a phrase from another movie, frankly, you know, Scarlett, they don't give a damn. You know, just because they do.
Exactly.
They have these complete out-of-the-box thoughts about all kinds of things, and they put things together differently and extremely creatively, and that they can be channeled right. If we're talking about a human being, you know, channeled right, these are some of you know, our best ideal people out there. And this is squaring Saturn, meaning that it got it, all the new thoughts, it had structure, and like all the dance sequences, all the movie shots, they were done in very tight, structured sequences. It had to flow so beautifully. I mean, this was an extremely well put together movie. For as odd, you know, it's just extremely odd movie. But if I would look at this, I'd have to know the exact release time, and I may look that up to see when the first one came out. Was it a midnight showing, or did it just, you know, show up at 8 o'clock in the evening, you know, like most other movies? Because I'd like to see the placement, because this obviously has this enduring appeal. And just looking at the days chart, I think that has as much to do with the fact that it has this natural charisma with the Sun-Pluto conjunction in Virgo, which can have, it's constantly improving things, working on things. Virgos don't get, you don't think of that as a sexy sign, but it's actually a sign that is quite primal. I'll just leave it at that at times. And that, and then that crazy Mercury-Uranus conjunction, so where it's like, I'm thinking a lot differently than the rest of you are. And there's this wonderful, this is a good moneymaker on a person's chart or a movie's chart, Venus-Jupiter trine. Anytime you see that, it's like, okay, things come to them easily. People are attracted to the movie and to people born like that easily. They just come to you. And you've got this sort of almost innocence to you, no matter what else is going on. I know that must be odd to people who think about the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but there's almost this naive, well, the couple involved in it, I can't remember their names now, that go to the movie. They're this naive segment. Okay, we'll go do this. Oh, we'll come into your house. We'll go do this. Played by a very young and beautiful Gina Davis there. So, all right. Well, I tell you what, that is the end of our time, my dear. I had picked 10 movies because I'm thinking 5 minutes on each, and we've gone through 5 movies. So
wow, we know. I was laughing at you as you're going along because you're such a detail-orientated person. I'm going, well, I'm glad I know her numerology because you really did nail down some real good details on stuff. So I was kind of smirking as I was listening to you. So, yeah, you're going to have to plan longer.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm, at any rate, I'm thinking, oh, I'm just hitting the highlights is all I'm thinking.
I know.
Yeah. All right, well. That was a fast 50 minutes of Deb's the Horoscope Lady. We appreciate you listening in, and thanks so much to my guest, Allison, who's another BBC host of Visible by the Numbers, that you can hear every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific time right here on BBS Radio. Thanks so much. And, Allison, I'll talk to you later about being back next week, and y'all have a good week.
Thanks for having me, Deb. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, bye now.